If you have a Bible there, please turn to Colossians as we continue of this series of Paul's prayers. To Colossians, and we'll read from verse 1. It's really verses 9 to 14 that we're thinking about, but let's read from verse 1 together. So Colossians chapter 1, I'm beginning to read at verse 1. This is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learnt it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Our God, as we come to your word now, may our minds be changed by Christ. May our hearts be changed by Christ. And may our lives point to Christ even more. We ask this in his name. Amen. I believe this prayer from Colossians may be the most challenging for us so far. We are getting some of the same principles here that we've thought about before, but this one pushes a little further beyond praying to actually putting our prayers into practice. We see the same pattern as in the letter to the Thessalonians, that what Paul gives thanks for, he then prays for. Paul here gives thanks for their faith in Christ Jesus. He gives thanks for their love for one another. And he gives thanks that the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing in their life. And then Paul simply puts that to a prayer. He gives thanks for the faith God has given them. He prays that they would understand more fully this faith, this gospel, that is, Jesus Christ. And Paul gives thanks that they are bearing fruit, and then Paul prays that they would continue to bear fruit. If you look there, verse 9, and so we see the prayer is closely linked to the thanksgiving. And so, Paul says, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Interestingly, Paul never met these believers. The church was planted by Epaphras, but he clearly still had affection. He clearly still had a desire for these new believers to remain firm in Christ. Never cease to pray is not saying that Paul prayed every single minute of every day for them, but it seems clear that he had some kind of routine, regular times that he prayed for these believers. And when he prayed for them, this was always the prayer he prayed. He said, I never cease to pray this for you. And I believe this is a prayer that we should never cease to pray for each other. This is a prayer that is worth putting on repeat. So we're simply now, we're going to look at what Paul prays and then why he prays it. So firstly, what does Paul pray? He asks God that these believers will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. These believers in Colossae, they were very susceptible to false teaching because they were surrounded by it. There were various ideas, philosophies, there were magic practices. And these believers really, they really struggled to know who they were. They struggled to get identity. And the temptation was to latch on to one of these teachings. But Paul knew that they needed their identity to be firmly placed in Christ. And so Paul's praying really that they wouldn't be filled with all this stuff around them. Because if they're filled with that, then that's going to determine how they live. We read in Colossians 2, the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And further down, verse 10, Paul says that you have been filled in him, that is Christ. And so Paul prays that God would continue to fill them in him. That is, that they would know the worth and the value and the treasure that is theirs in Christ, which is superior to all that their world had to offer. And as they have been brought into Christ, that they would continue to look to Christ, and that their identity would be further established in him, and then that their lives would be an overflow of all they do. And that looking to Christ would determine how they live. Paul wants them to be filled with a deeper understanding of who Christ is and what God's will for their lives is in him. We may have many pulls in our culture to distract us from the worth of Christ, things that tempt us to take our identity in, and things that will determine how we live if we look to them for identity, whether that's technology, social media, the desire for power or popularity or whatever else. And of course, for us to fully understand more of Christ and what God wants to do in our lives in him, we need to study God's word, the Bible. Paul prays they will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why does he pray this? Why does he pray this? He prays this so that they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, Paul's goal for his prayer is that they will live lives that are fully pleasing to God. How are they going to live lives that are fully pleasing to God? Well, by being filled with the knowledge of his will. See, it is in being in God's word and understanding more of who Christ is and God's will for us in him that enables us to live lives that are fully pleasing to God. And as we are doing this, and as we begin to see good fruit in our lives that Paul talks about, fruit that is pleasing to God, and we experience the power of God changing us, then we're encouraged more to go back to God's word, to know more of him. And then the more we get of God's word, the more good fruit we will be able to produce. And then the more good fruit we're producing, and the more we're experiencing God's power working in our lives, the more assurance we will actually have of our salvation, and the more firmly our identity will be secured. And the more this happens, well, then the more we will want to go back to God's word. And so you see this wonderful cycle happening. Paul prays that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will so that they will live lives that are fully pleasing to God. Paul wants the believers to bear good fruit, lives that are pleasing to God. This seems a little bit vague. So let's think, what does this look like in practice? This time tomorrow, what does it look like to bear good fruit? What does it look like to live a life that is pleasing to God? Well, verse 11 there says, Paul prays that they would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance or steadfastness and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul prays that as their lives are focused on Christ, that their lives then would be marked by a real steadiness, a constant steadiness, by patience, joy, and thanksgiving. And these qualities come when we are looking to what God has done for us in Christ. And I think it's interesting here that Paul does not pray for any change in circumstances. But he prays that they would know what God has done for them in Christ. They've been brought into the kingdom of the Son. This is where they will find their identity. They are under the control of the Son. And this means their lives are determined by what God is doing. He is working to transform them into the image of his Son, Colossians 3. We read they are being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator, who is Christ. Adam and Eve, man was made to reflect the glory of God, to point people to him. But of course, that image has been distorted through sin. But now in Christ, that image is being restored. God is working by his power to restore our image, to make us more like Christ, that we might even point others to him. This is what pleases God, when our lives point to Christ. I wonder, do you ever spend time deliberating what God's will is for your life? 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us very plainly. We read, this is the will of God, your sanctification. We could turn to really any of New Testament letters to see more specifically what this looks like, but let's stay with Colossians as we're here. And if we turn to Colossians 3, we see that Paul says there are those things which we are to put off, but then there are those things which we are to put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Paul says we're to put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another in love, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You'll notice many similarities between Colossians and Ephesians. And in Ephesians, again, you get this pattern of Paul. You get this picture of who Christ is and who we are in him in the first few chapters. And then the next few chapters, Paul says, well, then this is what it looks like to be in Christ. And what we see is that becoming like Christ, our being transformed to his image, our sanctification happens in the details of everyday life. It happens in our relationships at home, in the workplace, and in church. We can see that there in Colossians. And then what I want us to notice from Ephesians is that Paul adds in the armor of God. Because you see, it is in everyday life that as God works in us And as we strive to become more like Christ, that you will face spiritual battle. I've been thinking back and I've noticed that the past 2 years, I have never been more aware of my own sin. And I have never been more aware of my need of Christ, despite being a Christian for almost 30 years. And I don't think that it's any coincidence that the past 2 years from I came here, that I've been in God's word more than I have ever been before. I think there's clearly a direct link between those two things. And one thing this tells me is that I need prayer. I remember before Em and I got married, I had asked a friend to pray for us just as we started married life. And he was actually very concerned because he wondered what might be wrong. And he thought that there was some issue going on that I needed to be upfront about or some dispute, but there really wasn't. And I think here what Paul is praying for these believers is a constant prayer. We constantly need this prayer. If we ever think we are beyond the need for prayer in any given day, there is something drastically wrong. And when I think about this and I look at these characteristics, my desire, if we look at the practical application of this, I always want to treat my wife with kindness. I never want to be harsh with her. But the reality is, pressures of life are on, and in any given day, I know that that can be a battle. So I need your prayers. I want to be consistently patient and gentle with my children when they're up X amount of times at night, when they're not doing what I want them to do, when I need to discipline them. But I know that's a battle. At times, it seems that everything within me fights against patience and gentleness. So I need your prayers. What about you? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? We thought about this morning. Our kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, are they the marks of your marriage? Are they the marks of your parenting? Whether you're dealing with toddlers or teenagers who seem to go against you at every turn, or perhaps you've had a lifetime of strained family relationships. Are these marks evident in the way we think and speak about and to our families? Are we marked by these characteristics with a difficult boss and perhaps an awkward or ungodly work team? Are we marked by these characteristics in our relationships here in the local church? When we're working with people who perhaps would do things differently to how we would do them, are we quick to forgive? At times, are we willing to just say nothing, let it go? Do you know, I don't think there are black and white answers in the Bible about perhaps what we should study or what job you take or who you marry or where you live or what church we go to. But I think it is clear that whoever you marry, whatever job you do, wherever you live, God's will for your life is your sanctification. And this here is what it looks like. Now, I'm guessing if you're like me, you want to live a life that is fully pleasing to God, that you want to be marked by kindness, by humility, by patience, by forgiveness. But if you are striving towards this, you will know it is a hard battle. If you're not striving, you probably won't feel the battle as much. But if you're striving towards this, you will know it's a hard battle. And just as I need your prayers, so also you need my prayers. Because we know that often these characteristics are not our natural reactions or instincts. We need supernatural help. And that's why Paul prays that these believers would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Paul is praying that God's power Let's think about this. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same power is at work within our hearts. Paul prays that as we catch hold of Christ through his word, by his spirit, God's power would work from within that we might produce good fruit pleasing to him. This is not a prayer that we need once in a while when life takes an unexpected turn. Of course, we do need prayer then. God's purpose for our lives is to make us more like Christ. This purpose is worked out in the day-to-day happenings of our lives, and this will not happen through just determination or willpower. It will happen through changed hearts by the power of God. So we need to pray asking for that for each other without ceasing. We are going to sing now, and then we're going to have a time of prayer together, as we have been doing. So I will ask Danielle to come up, and then I will come back up and lead us in prayer.